advertising on TikTok isn't for your business, think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleague and friend, Michael Yahn. Michael Yahn at locals.com. Michael's been on the border these last many hours, before and after Title 42 expired. And we're going to carefully follow what Michael saw on the 11th, Thursday the 11th, the day of the expiration of Title 42. The expected surge, the wane of the surge, mixed reports. This is a vast, long border. Michael's in Texas. And so on Thursday the 11th of May, 2023, Michael Yahn was at Gate 42. Michael, a very good day to you. What did you see or expect to see at Gate 42? You were on the Texas side. What does it look like? Who was there? Hello, Michael.
Gate 40. Hello, John. I'm in El Paso right now, just near one of the encampments, actually near Sacred Hearts Church. And so this is where a lot of the aliens are really causing some difficulties for the locals. But Gate 42 on the night of the 11th was that's where all the media showed up. So that's where the press conferences were. And that's where the old wrestling term, the kayfabe. In other words, just having the show, all the mainstream there, all the cameras and the trucks and the satellite dishes and all that stuff. So the government's getting their messages out. The National Guard was there, clearly helping with the invasion. And I use the word invasion because that is the accurate word legally. And it's also the accurate word from a war correspondent's perspective. Now, I was up and down the border. I was not just at Gate 42 at El Paso. It's interesting, by the way, it was Gate 42 when Title 42 was, why did they open Gate 42 when Title 42 was being dropped? Was that a little message? I don't know. Anyway, it could have been coincidence. But so I was up and down the border where there was no journalist whatsoever. We were finding all kinds of backpacks discarded where people have been crossed. Because remember, there's thousands of crossings. It's not just Gate 42 or the Juarez, crossing or Matamoros or anything. It's just thousands of crossings where people come over on rope ladders. They come over on manufactured ladders. They cut holes in the fence. There's places where there's no fence. So when you go up and down the border at night, it can be quite dangerous, actually, because a lot of the people coming across actually are armed, especially when they're not coming across the international places like the Juarez crossing. But when they're coming across at these remote places, a lot of them are actually drug dealers. Last night we found an actual rope that was lighted by a very dim light, and it had a trail cam watching it. And we do not think that trail cam was from Border Patrol. It actually looks like it was a had the antenna on it. It looked like it was probably one of the cartels were watching this crossing right there, because it's in a remote area. It was actually really sketchy and quite dangerous. We got out of there quite quick, but we actually got the rope and with the light that was on it. In any case, so there's a lot going on here. The there's not been a huge surge of 700,000 people or a million people or whatever, but it's like looking at a man with a yo-yo going up or down the stairs. The man is clearly going up the stairs no matter what the yo-yo is doing. And overall, clearly the invasion is increasing. For instance, there's a big camp that we were at last night in Northeast El Paso, and it houses 4,000. This is just one of many camps, and that camp is growing. It's being, you can see the new construction is substantial. There are bids out for other camps that are being built along the border. And as you and I have talked about Darien Gap a lot over the last couple of years. The Darien Gap camps are being built up, even while Secretary Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, says that we're shutting down Darien Gap. That's completely false. I get daily updates from Darien Gap. You can't go through Darien Gap without me knowing about it. It's clearly increasing. So the flow from Darien Gap in Panama, Colombia to Panama, is massively important, because that's the funnel through which huge numbers of people from 140 countries, Africa, Asia, and South America, for instance, Venezuelans, are now about 11% of the, according to the government of Panama, about 11% of the people in Panama are new Venezuelans. 11%. I mean, this is destabilizing that while the economy is already starting to tremble a bit. And so that's what we're having here. We have huge numbers of Venezuelans in El Paso and different places, like the Chinese are crossing more in Rio Grande Valley on the other side of the state. And actually, some of the Chinese that I've been tracking, they send me messages. One is down in Tapachula now, which is the southern, which Tapachula is sort of like the El Paso of Mexico. It's down on the Guatemala border. I've been down there. It's right on the river. It's actually the same dynamic. It's very, almost the exact dynamic as here. Tapachula is on the Guatemala border, whereas here at El Paso is on the Mexican border. And they cross over this river and from Guatemala to Tapachula, and they stay there for sometimes a long period of time until they get permission to go through the rest of Mexico. So this one Chinese man that I've met down in Darien a few weeks or 2 weeks ago or so, he's down in Tapachula now, and he said he's been asking me, are they going to be permitted to cross into the United States? What has happened with Title 42, which he calls, they always call it the decision. So now he realizes the decision is to let people in. He's very happy, and he's on his way.
All right, Michael, so, when the people on Thursday, the 11th, what you saw was the press was there heavily, and so were all the law enforcement people. Were they letting people come through the gate, or was that closed to people from Mexico on Thursday?
They were letting them in. They put them on buses, and they put the women on one bus and the men on other buses. And it's mostly men coming, of course, and mostly military age males. But interestingly, at Gate 42, there was a lot of females coming through there, more than you normally see. And it made me wonder, like, why are the women and children really heavy here when I know from my extensive experience on the border, it is vastly mostly military age males. But when it comes time, you know, when the cameras are there, they're putting the women on the buses while the mainstream is there filming early in the night. It's the women going on the buses, and then later it's the men.
All
interesting.
Right. And
huh?
From Gate 42, they bus them to the camp at El Paso. Is that where on Thursday? This is Thursday. That's where they went.
We did not track those buses, but we do know that they often go to the camp that we were at last night,
right,
which is in northeast El Paso. Keep in mind, there's a lot of camps. I don't even know how many. In fact, I'm going to, when we finish here with the next week or so on the border, I'm going to meet with people that specialize with nothing but the camps to update my knowledge on that.
All right. On the Mexico side, are they still throwing away their identification? So when the migrants come to the Gate 42, they can't identify themselves. No passport, no driver's license, no identification.
Yep, they are in large numbers. And now I have not collected any bags full this time, as I often do. Actually, there's a huge amount also discarded on the American side, but I didn't see any IDs on the border yet on the American side this time. Now, in the past, I've collected bags on the Mexican side and the American side. But this time on our side, American side, for instance, I was out there on the night of the 11th, actually, and in a remote place, and we found three bags that were not even that somebody just dumped them. Right. And so we were going through the bags. This is important. And we found one piece of paper with an address and a name in Gainesville, Georgia. And I have a private investigator that works for me. I photographed it, sent it to him. We checked it out real quick, got the name. It's quite mysterious, actually. It's a former, the address is to a former U.S. soldier and blah, blah, blah. I won't go into details on that. Very interesting. And then interesting, while we were going through that bag, this is like, I don't know, midnight-ish. And we're alone out there, just two of us. And then a Border Patrol guy shows up, and he gets out of his truck. He's got his rifle, and he's very professional. As he walks up to us in the light, his eyes are, I was like, whoa, what's wrong? Are you okay? He had, like, a conjunctivitis. I said, you're sick, man. You shouldn't be. Yeah, this is the Border Patrol guy. I said, he goes, yeah, I know. I said, he starts coughing. I'm like, you shouldn't be on duty. I said, listen, look at your eyes. You should be, like, not around anybody even.
Michael,
you know?
Michael, that's one of the symptoms of Arcturus, the new iteration of COVID. Are you aware of that?
No, sir, but thank you for telling me.
It's symptomatic as if it's conjunctivitis. This is news from about a week or 2 weeks ago. It's hit Los Angeles. It's in the subcontinent of India. So when you see someone with pink eye, you know what it is, Michael.
Both of his eyes were like that. It was scary looking. Yeah.
Yes, that means that now Arcturus is said to be contagious, but not mortally contagious. It's a new iteration of the COVID. It's derived from the Delta of 2020-21, I believe. That's a sidebar, Michael. I just mentioned. You know, be careful.
Pretty important sidebar. He's actually on duty coughing conjunctivitis. He's a nice guy. I talked with him for about an hour.
And, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He was getting weaker and weaker. I said, you're getting weaker, right? It's like midnight. I said, you're getting weaker. Your battery is going to amber while we're talking. You should be home. Why? And then another Border Patrol guy showed up. Again, we're like midnight, 1 a.m. I was like, why is he even on duty? You know what I mean? This is unbelievable that you guys are out here sick.
All right, now that was the 11th. I'm talking to Michael Yon. Michael Yon at /locals.com is where to see Michael's reporting. Michael and I have been talking for several years now about the crisis, not only at the Texas border, but at the Panama border with Colombia, at the border between Turkey and Greece, at the border between Belarus and Lithuania, the border between North Africa, Morocco, and the EU. So the border phenomenon is global. It's just a global story. There's nothing local about it. There's nothing parochial about it. We're going to turn now to what Michael saw on the 12th, the day after, because there are reports here very far away in New England that the surge has waned. So when we come back with Michael Yon, this is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.